This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Shelby, you're being too loud. They're going to kill us.
I know. I mean, I think we'd already be dead. Like, just knowing us, I think we'd be some of the first to go.
Well, famously, in an apocalypse situation, you don't want to be alive. So you would off yourself instantly.
I mean, I don't know if I'd off myself. It's just, would I fight that hard to survive in a world where any sense of normality is like completely gone? I don't know.
And then I am a very quiet person in general. So I feel like I would last a long time in a quiet place.
No one has ever said, oh yeah, Matt, the quiet kid.
No, I actually got like docked in my school report cards all the time for talking over the
teacher. Exactly.
So, oopsies.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh my gosh, this is so camp. Like, what's happening here?
Do you think that it's possible that my voice could be so annoying that the people run away?
It's the high pitch frequency. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Your voice is
it's like
what
vocal fry.
They'd be like, ugh, it's terrifying.
Oh my gosh, you guys, there's monsters. They just all like run, jump in the sea.
Yeah. No, I feel like you'd have pretty good odds. I mean, I think you're a quick study. Like, I think you'd quickly realize the issue, and so you'd shut up. And I think you'd become annoyed at people who weren't, like, as tuned in, you know?
I think that I feel like in an apocalypse, the main thing that you want to do is just, like, sit put for as long as possible. Like, I think if there's an apocalypse, like, you just sort of want to be, like, in your, like, I mean, I guess it depends on what kind it is, but, like,
for someone in New York City, I think it's hard because you're locked down, you know, so often.
But I'm sort of
like, you want to get out.
I'm like, let me stay in my apartment. Let me see if I can stay in my apartment for 2 weeks living off the food I already have and like not make noise, like just sleep, read books, whatever. Let the zombies kind of do what they're going to do. Let the other,
there is,
you know.
There's absolutely no way you have 2 weeks worth of food in your apartment right now.
If I'm rationing?
I don't know. I feel like your kitchen is small and, you know, your fridge would be gone. So all of that food's gone. And so then what are you left with? Like, what do you have? Dry noodles? Like, I don't know.
I feel like I could last a while on the food that I have in my apartment.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's great. I'm proud of you.
Cause like you can eat like peanut butter, you know, it's like I have condiments and stuff. Like, would it be good? No, but like, could I eat ketchup? Like that has calories.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't have a pet or a child. So you're pretty much.
Another great reason to not have a dog.
I don't know. I mean, I think the cat in this movie was very helpful and honestly better at surviving than either of the main characters.
Well, cats don't really make that much noise, so...
Cats 100% make noise. That was the most unbelievable part of this monster alien movie. The cat would be meowing. The cat meows when it's happy. The cat meows when it's hungry. The cat goes...
No, cats purr when they are happy.
Yeah, but... But I'm telling you right now, I FaceTime my sister, and if she ignores the cat for a minute, it's like, meow. It's like, meow, meow.
See,
it's going, running around, bobbing things.
Not to derail us too early in this, but I was kind of like, I felt like that the U.S. government, like, had its shit together a little bit more than I thought they were going to in this with the helicopters. And I was kind of like, it seems to me that they're... Like, once that they knew that they could just sort of fly and then distract all of the killer creature. Like, I was sort of like, how come we didn't do a better job taking these people out?
Yeah, because they weren't thinking all the way through. Because they were like, okay, guys, come to the water. And then everything funneled after them. But it's like, yeah, they should be, drawing the monsters to a specific place. I don't know. Blast some Britney. I don't, you know, blow up the Empire State Building, centralize it.
Yeah.
And then give everyone else a fighting chance.
But, and I'm like, you're telling me that those animals, like, you couldn't kill them with like a missile or something? Like, they're not.
That's the whole point. That's what we learn in A Quiet Place original, you know, with all those helpful newspaper clippings, is that they're indestructible. So,
yeah, I just am not buying that, really. Sorry.
Yeah. You can only shoot, like, they're armored except for their throats. So that's why you can only shoot them when they open their mouths, you know?
Yeah, but you're telling me, like, yes, maybe for, like, a bullet, but you're telling me that, like, a missile is not going to blow those things
up?
That's
the science that they set up. Like, that's the problem, right? Is that A Quiet Place, you know, circa 2019 was very clear in its overview with its noise, New York Times headline, and like indestructible. I'm pretty sure they show like a nuke going off or something in like London, not like in a photo, in like a headline.
Oh yeah,
like nukes don't work or something. That's what they wanted it to be, you know.
Nukes don't work. I've been saying that for quite some time. Famously, peace is what works. Nukes don't work.
Yeah. Choose love. But no, I think that's the issue with A Quiet Place as a world, is the aliens don't necessarily make sense. Like, and I've just accepted that. I've been along for the ride since day one. And I feel like they just need to acknowledge that these aliens don't necessarily make great sense. And the world functioning in any sort of capacity post-aliens makes zero sense. But I appreciate the effort they put into telling these human stories with this absolutely bonkers alien invasion.
Well, yeah, because it's like they're not like eating the people. And yeah. But then it also sort of seems like if they're just irritated by noise, then yeah, something like the fountain or the rain or something would also irritate that. Like, it's right. Very confusing, it's like, to what exactly it, their, yeah. their goal is.
Yeah. I mean, that's my one. Like, okay, full disclosure. I liked this movie a lot. I think it was a surprisingly heartfelt and kind of, I don't know. Like, it was different than I expected, and it was different than the sort of monster slasher flicks of 1 and 2. And it was very centralized on character rather than world building, except for the moments where it wasn't. And those were the moments I liked least. Like, there was that whole sort of like second act part where the guy is returning from his, you know, drug run and stumbles upon this like pink ooze. And it was like, I don't know, the aliens.
Oh yeah, I was confused. Forming what some that sort of was.
Yeah, coconut husks. Like, it was like,
I was like, was it an egg? Yeah.
I know. I was expecting it to be like, oh, here's the like queen bee, or oh, we're gonna learn about how they procreate, or like their eggs, or like what their spaceships looked like, whatever. But it really was nonsense. Like, it didn't add anything. It was just like more confusing. And so I felt like that was a moment where I was like, guys, let's just dial it back. We don't need to understand these creatures. And especially when what you're giving us is even more like strange and confusing. Because it was really just like, oh, they are eating this pink sludge. But it's like, where did the pink sludge come from? And like, so they do communicate with each other. There's some sort of call and answer. Like, it was just, it added too many questions and sort of felt out of place in the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it was sort of a weird movie overall. I did really like it, but I was, it was not what I was expecting in a variety of different ways. Like, it wasn't what I was expecting just based on like, we're going to have a prequel of A Quiet Place set in New York on the first day of invasion. Like, this is not what I would have envisioned in any way, shape, or form. And then also just even from the trailers, this really wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So I was very taken aback, shall we say, being in the theater and watching this. I was like, it was Sunday night of Pride. And I thought, like, I'm done with everything. Like, I need some, you know, something to relax, like something that's just going to be like easy, like fun popcorn movie. Like, let me go see A Quiet Place, because I knew we were covering for the podcast. It was like, oh, great. You know, like a little horror movie to spice things up. Because in the trailer, nowhere does it mention that the entire thing is a cancer movie. And so I sit down and like 2 minutes in, I'm like, oh my God, what have I signed myself up for this evening? Like a movie about a writer who lives in New York who's dying of cancer? This is not triggering in the slightest. And yeah, it but like,
yeah, the marketing was good because I thought it would be less surprising because the trailers seemed to show a lot, but then yeah, you really didn't know the major beats at all.
No, the trailer honestly was kind of boring in some ways. Like knew that obviously that like the aliens were coming and whatever, they showed them sort of like running around the street in Chinatown, but you didn't really know of like the plot or how any of the characters were put together. And then the movie starts and you realize, oh, Lupita Nyong'o is dying of cancer. She's at a hospice center. They're taking these poor sick people into the city to see a weird marionette
sad puppet show.
Which I was like, I have never heard of anyone in New York going to a puppet show. So I don't know where they dreamt of
that. Well, if you saw the audience, it's children. So I think it's like not your circle of usual.
Well, yes, but I'm like, I've lived here 9 years. You'd think that I would have heard somebody mention a puppet show at some point other than like Avenue Q. I'm like, I've never... Like,
this just in, Matt doesn't believe things happen in New York that he doesn't know about.
No, I'm just saying it's like, it's a weird choice for them to go see. Lupita just like really wants pizza. And because apparently in Long Island or wherever they are, they don't have good pizza. And so,
I believe it.
And so, I think people in Long Island would beg to differ, actually. And definitely in New Jersey. I'm like,
maybe she just meant there wasn't good pizza like home, at, like made at the hospice.
Yeah,
center.
At the hospice center, like in the cafeteria. That I believe.
Yeah.
So she goes in, and then in the middle of the puppet show, or I guess right after the puppet show, is when the aliens start falling from the sky and then obviously take people out, and they're killing people left, right, and center. And she knows that she's probably going to get killed by one of these monsters and she's going to die anyways. So she basically just decides, hey, like, I want to go home to Harlem. I want to eat pizza up in Harlem. And like, that's going to be what I do for the next couple days. I'm going to trudge up there, sick and dying as I am. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen to me? I get eaten by one of these animals, so I'm dying anyways.
Yeah.
And so the whole movie has this very, like, faded, melancholy, sort of sad, depressing quality to it. In that, like, you know from the start kind of what's going to happen. And it's a very different type of horror movie, I think, because usually, like, with the first two Quiet Place movies, you're like, oh, like, we hope that this family survives. We hope that no one dies. We hope they beat the monsters. But we obviously know, because it's a prequel, one, they don't beat the monsters. So, like, the best case scenario is that, what, they just, like, get off the island or something? And then two, that she has cancer. So she's not going to be cured. No matter what, she's in hospice. She's actively dying. So even if the monsters don't get her, she's going to die of cancer. So you know that's what's coming. So I don't know. It was a very interesting choice, I think, for the movie. I really loved this movie. I thought it was really well done and very interesting. But it was very unlike like the first two movies and anything I'd seen before, sort of in this genre. I can't think of a terminal illness horror movie that I've seen recently.
Yeah, I think it was smart, and I think it was more, I don't know, it was more like hopeful somehow, even in its sort of inevitability, because I mean, to go full nerd, they named her Sam and her cat Frodo, which is the pairing from Lord of the Rings, who go on this epic journey. And the whole time, there's sort of this understanding that they might not make it home, but like, it might be worth it in the end. And like, there's a sense of motivation beyond themselves. And so I liked that it was just this kind of, I don't know, she'd come to realize like, there wasn't the sadness of what she would have had. Instead, she was remembering like the joy of what she did have. You know, like this phrase goes, don't be sad that it's over. be glad that it happened.
That's so true.
It's in the journey, not the destination.
And those are the types of things I will be saying to the monsters to ward them off. I'll be saying platitudes and they'll be running. I'll be saying, live, laugh, love, you guys.
But yeah, no, it was interesting because I found like A Quiet Place sort of this indulgent, silly horror. Like, honestly, I still giggle about the It's Noise headline in the first one. I think the children in the first two were so just stupid
that you almost were
like, yeah, you were almost like, just kill them off already. And I like that they decided to dial that all back. And instead of, obviously, you get your monster moments, you get the running, the screams, the jump scares, but still at the heart of it is just sort of this, I don't know, kind of like human interest story. And I like that the two characters they chose really just kind of stumbled into each other. There wasn't baggage of who they were or what they meant to each other or anything. They were just, you just get to see them in this exact moment. Like, especially with Joseph Quinn's character, he literally just pops up. You have no idea. I guess, you know, he's in law school or something.
Yeah.
But that's really it.
He's British. Yeah. And he's over here. Yeah. For law school. But
yeah, and he just sort of gloms on to them because he needs something to believe in and do and kind of like survive this because he's so far removed from everything he had cared about before. And I liked watching their little friendship and how they helped each other and kind of just needed in each other in spite of not needing anything really, because there was nothing left, you know.
Well, it's nice also that it's like, it's not a romance. And that also, I mean, it's so short. It's only a little over 90 minutes. And that also the horror elements like aren't, like there are obviously action set pieces, but I feel like that most of the movie are these like smaller intimate scenes. Like there's not that many jump scares. There's not that many big action set pieces. Aside from a couple, I feel like the first two had a lot more going on. And I sort of thought that this was going to be something a lot more like Cloverfield, which is also a like, oh, we got to get somewhere in through New York in an apocalypse situation, which is just like frenetic and crazy and terrifying the entire time. Or even something like War of the Worlds, I think, is more like that, where this was much slower in its sort of character development and not having that much action. Because after sort of like the first big set piece, you get that moment where they're like running through the glass building and stuff, and then you get the final scene. But
well, you also have, I mean, you do have the, you have a lot. I think this movie is like 10 times the budget. And they do use it. So there are like a lot of action, but I think it speaks to the powerful, like the intentionality of the script that that's not really what you remember. Like it's secondary to the characters, but there is like a lot to see. Like,
yeah, but you know, I guess
because there's the first attack, then there's her waking up after the attack and the cat, and then there's everyone deciding to march down the same avenue to get to the boats, and then the attack there, and then there's, you know, the subway attack, and there's the, you know, so there, and there's the magical pink goo, and
yeah, so I guess like I just stuff. It but it's not, it wasn't a super stressful movie for me. Like I felt like the moments where I was actively stressed that something bad was gonna happen were not that many. Like there was a lot of scenes of them, you know, it's like when it's raining and then when they're in the fountain and when they're eating the pizza. There's a lot of scenes where it's just sort of them like sitting around places and not, it's not like, you know, oh, there's a serial killer on the loose. Like he's going to pop out at any moment.
Yeah.
Where I think the first two had a lot more of those kind of things where it's like, you know, people creeping around and you think somebody's going to jump out.
No, for sure.
No, the thing that did annoy me about this movie, though, which we've talked about in movies in the past, is that this is set in New York, but is not shot in New York. And I think they did a decent job on some of the sound sets, but some, especially the like outdoor scenes that were more like out in the open. I was like, this is not New York City. Like, I'm sorry.
Imagine if they tried to shoot this film in New York. Like, they would shut down a whole avenue, like Second Avenue, for like, what, 10 days to shoot this monster scene? Like, what do you want, you know?
Well, like, yes and no, though, because I'm kind of like, okay, if you're going to make it a New York-centered movie, like, either A, build a soundstage, which I think is what they did for the sort of those scenes down in Chinatown, or like give me green screen or something if you can't shoot here, but don't shoot it in a different city and then tell me that it's New York, because I will know that it is not New York. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm sorry too. That's really upsetting. I mean, first they difficult. Make it a cancer movie, yes. and then they disrespect your city.
Right.
It's just uncalled for. It's really, yeah. really
it's
cruel
shot in Leavesden, and apparently it's supposed to be in New York. Like, no. I'm not buying
it. You're not falling for it. You know what I love is that the director and writer is the same director and writer of Pig, my beloved.
Yes.
Nicolas Cage.
I did see that. And this does sort of have similar energy
to
Pig.
It does. And I want you to revisit Pig and like appreciate it for what it is.
I actually cannot do that. The underground fight club scene in Pig will forever stay with me as just a head scratcher of like a, what?
That's the underbelly of the restauranting world.
Right,
so.
Exactly, in Seattle.
Yeah.
The underground fight club
it's
of
a
restaurateurs.
I can't help that you're not mm-hmm. in on the underground.
Grub Street's writing
Royals.
About it constantly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's Gordon Ramsay versus yeah. Martha Stewart in the underground fight club.
Yeah, but with this movie, I did wonder, like, oh, okay, they have this huge budget now. It's going to be your Godzilla. It's going to show the Empire State Building being ripped apart by these monsters. Like, it's going to go big scale. But instead, they still really focused on the singular.
Well, they did bomb the Brooklyn Bridge for some reason.
Of course. To keep the monsters from being able to escape. It's a classic.
Right, but
it's a classic tactic.
But there's monsters all over the world,
yes, but
right? it's
but
not
it's
like just in New York.
No, but you want to, you know, if a dam's breaking, you try to fill all the holes. You don't just give up because you can't get to them all, you know. So it's like,
I don't know.
Imagine, and also, what do they know in that moment? You know, they're hitting simultaneously around the world, so they're just like guessing. They're not sure. So it's like boom,
if
boom,
that's
boom.
That's how
let's
fast we're
this.
Just gonna start bombing bridges, though. I'm like,
oh, 1,000%. They do the same thing in I Am Legend. You know, it's like, uh-oh, at least this is an island. Let's try to contain it. Sorry to all your losers there. That's why I'm like, Matt, you should not stay still in New York. You need to get out of there, okay?
No, but I think trying to get out too quick is the problem. You have to let everybody yeah. else try to get out and die yeah. and whatever, and then you yeah. go out later.
Yeah, like I Am Legend.
I only have to make it like 3 blocks to the river. So,
oh yeah, that's true. You're primed.
So I'm pretty close, and I'm a pretty good swimmer. So,
yeah.
I think I'd be okay, kind of.
So there's just a chapter of this universe where there's an entire group of tourists stuck on, stuck with Lady Liberty, right? Like, there's no way for the
yes
monsters right. to get there. I think that would be a fun spinoff show, like a comedy about the types of tourists that go to the Statue of Liberty and the workers who are then stuck with them.
I think that turns into a Yellow Jacket situation real quick.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, you're selling me on it more, you know, like that's exactly
like,
my
yeah,
point.
But you're like, oh, it's a comedy. I'm like, I don't think it's a comedy. I think
it's a dark
terrifying.
Comedy. It's a dark, you know, you got a lot of personality.
I think they're eating
is what
people.
I, mean. I think it would take a while. Like, I think
after they finish the lemon ice, I don't know. I don't think it would take that long because there's a lot of people and it's a small
yeah,
island and there's
food,
not that much
yeah.
food there.
Yeah.
I think, and it's like, I also don't know, aside from whatever, you know, the ferry boat is, what. How many vessels there are to getting off. Although I guess it's not
I
that
know,
far from New Jersey. You
stuck.
Could probably swim that way. But that also feels sort of dangerous. I don't know if there's fishing supplies.
Yeah. No, it would be rough. It, like, honestly, there's universes of disasters where I'm like, I could figure this out, you know? But with this one in particular, it's like, what is the cost benefit of surviving this? Because there's really no solution. Like, you can't wait for the zombies to die off, or you can't, like, wait for the disease to run through the entire planet, you know? It's just kind of like, oh, we have to live with these creatures for the rest of eternity and don't make any noise or find a single island where it works out for us.
Well, I mean, so we don't know how long they live or if they can procreate or whatever. Like, has that been addressed at any point in the series?
I don't know.
Other than perhaps
the
pink goo?
That's what I thought the pink goo was, eggs, but then they just tore it.
So, like, maybe they will die off in a year or something, and then you'll be able to go back to regular life. Because, I mean, like, yeah, like, zombies eventually will disintegrate, and they can't really, like, they can't have children, obviously. So if you just wait it out from the zombies, then you'll be fine, which is why it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Zombie shows in general.
Yeah.
But, and then famously, the boat people from the second movie are fine, just, like, living on boats and such.
Until, man, honestly, that was the saddest part of this movie, because the single tie-in is the character of the founding, like, islander.
Does he die in the second one?
He does. He gets torn apart. Ugh. He gets torn apart because of the stupid sad white dudes, or Cillian Murphy crashing a boat with a little demon alien on it, and it just wreaks havoc on their little paradise. And honestly, that's what I appreciated most about this film too, is that the worst person, the most annoying person, was the white middle-aged man freaking out in the theater. It's like, if there are 3-year-olds holding it together, sir, you need to shut the fuck up, you know? That's how I felt. I was like, yeah, you've got to freaking
the one on the roof,
dude. Yes. Absolutely.
Who got his head
him.
Snapped or whatever?
Yes.
I was shocked by how fast they killed off Alex Wolff. Because he's Lupita's, like, nurse caretaker person in the city. And you kind of think, oh, like, they're going to be in this together. And they kill him off, like, 20 minutes into the movie, maybe. Like, he's gone. And then she's by herself until she stumbles upon what's-his-face from Stranger Things.
Well, he stumbles upon her.
Sure. Whatever. Ugh,
honestly, that would be the most traumatizing thing. Is he? It's implied that he was, like, drowning in a subway and had to swim up the flooded exit. And just the idea of being stuck in water underground, just desperately looking for a very, very small exit. Oh my gosh, the trauma! I would definitely be having panic attacks if they.
Yeah,
if
I was also confused about that though, because I was like, how fast was it filling up with water, and where was the water coming from? And obviously, he couldn't have been too far from the exit if he managed to swim.
Yeah, I mean,
underwater.
He's waiting for the train. Oh my gosh, some monster! I don't know how pipes work, but one monster breaks open one pipe. That subway is full. Okay, it rains and it floods. For some of those. You should do a map of what has flooded in the past and where this movie took place.
Oh,
because then they go further down, they go further up and get in the subway.
You're
and
saying that
flooded.
That my number one New York critique should be, well, that's not the subway station that would have flooded.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I think it's an important.
I mean, all the subway stations are connected, so theoretically, they would all be flooding.
Well,
I mean, I guess there's like
that we've seen.
Yeah, I guess there's like an up. Like, I guess maybe there's hills and stuff. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know.
It's like Poseidon, you know. Yes, it's all flooding, but at different times, at different levels.
At different times, at different levels. Yes.
It's like, oh, you know. But no, I did like Alex Wolff's death. I do feel like it was absolutely illogical because. Again, it's a situation where there's this huge loud noise and they're not quickly to it. But then when he rips his shirt, then they're there. And I get that it might have taken some time for the monster to get to the noise, but the monsters famously do not move quietly. So it was sort of like, okay, we all know how this is going to go. This man is going to die fixing this generator. But that was kind
of. See, I was surprised by that because I assumed he'd be around for longer, and I thought, oh, this will be, you know, sort of one of these.
But he wasn't in any of the trailer. Come on, Matt.
Yeah, but neither was the cancer. So really, yeah, I had no idea.
But the two human characters were, you know, the the ones on the
Well, I didn't think he was going to last the whole time, but I didn't think he was going to literally die at the first point of conflict that we come into, that the generator is going on. Which, and I was also sort of like, leave the generator on. Like,
they'll come and shut it off.
New York City. There's all kinds of, like, noises going on.
And it's not from the middle of the theater. So it's on the outside. They've already, like, trampled around outside. They weren't thinking, you know, they were panicked and trying to react. And it was illogical, but who's to say what we would have done in that situation?
The most illogical thing that I 100% would not have done is when they're like, everybody go to South Street Seaport, and just thousands of people are out in this out in the street with their rolly backpacks and stuff. I'm like, oh no, that's a recipe for disaster. I'm waiting until some of the other people go.
Or just choose a different path, you know, like just break free from the crowd.
Well, they only had one soundstage, so it was one.
I think
they only had one road.
To how dumb people are. I think that was honestly realistic to me. That was like, you just want something to be over, and so you just follow. Like, you're not thinking, you're not like problem solving. And to be fair, you know, who knows what everyone knows? And so it's like, oh, I must march here. Maybe the monsters are gone now or something. But yeah, it was, that was the most troubling part. Honestly, I liked the scene itself, but I feel like Lupita was smart enough that she would have exercised herself from that situation much faster.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying about like apocalypse situations in general. Like, you just have to sit put until the stupid people get killed off. Because it's like, there's way too many people. Most people are not surviving. You just have to sort of chill for a second, let the dumb ones kind of weed themselves out, and then make your move, I think. Yeah.
I mean, she had her dumb moments too, because she darted after her cat almost immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And then she pushed a rolly case of books. And I was like, girl, this is not the time. Like, you got to be dodging items. You can't push it away thinking you've got it under control.
To be fair, she didn't really care if she died that much, so it was like, whatever. I mean, at the end of the movie,
she
basically
wanted pizza.
Yeah, well, that's true. And same here.
Yeah.
I had pizza last night. It was very good.
Can we talk about how gorgeous her apartment was, and the idea that she hadn't like sold it or something? Like, she was living out of state in a hospice center, but she had this beautiful apartment, and I was like, what's happening here? I thought she was breaking into someone's house, but it was hers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. I was like, this is stunning. And then I was like, I guess in Harlem, like, if the family had got it because the dad had lived there, like, it had been passed down. But
absolutely beautiful. Beautiful windows. You should find that. Maybe that was filmed in New York.
Well, I was like, I actually need to find Patsy's. And now I'm like, wait, there's locations all over the place. How come I've never heard of this pizza place?
So it's a real chain, but it's not worthy of the movie's hero's journey.
Well, have you been there?
I haven't. I'm saying.
Well, it looks to me like there's one. Well, no. There's one. The one in the movie that I'm looking up is up in Harlem. It is on First Avenue and 118th Street. So, yes. Okay, yeah. So East Harlem, up by Randall's Island, like across from there. But it also appears that there are locations like Upper East, Upper West. There's one sort of by Columbus Circle. There's one that's by, that's like within walking distance of me, that's on 2nd Avenue and
43rd. Are they all related, or they're just named the same?
No, they're all, it's clearly like one of those things where there's like a New York institution, and then they're like, okay, we're going to open a couple of other places. But it sort of looks like a restaurant that's not a by the slice restaurant. Like, I think it's more of an Italian, like, sit down pizza place, which would maybe explain why I've never been there.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you think they paid for the good press in this film. Like, she's literally like putting off death to get one more piece of this pizza.
Well, I don't know. Like, it could very well be a Harlem like institution.
Yeah.
Which is sort of why I'm surprised that you don't know about it, because you lived up there. Like, I've never lived that far north. Yeah, I guess you were on the west side.
Was over there. Too hard to get to. But no, I think, oh yeah, and I meant to ask you, as someone who famously does not like animals, how did you feel about the cat in this movie? The cat as a character, even.
I mean, I was sort of like, okay, if this woman is dying, she had to leave her house, her parents are dead, like, she has this animal that she brought with her and is living with her in hospice. Like, I understood the connection in that case, because it's like, she doesn't really have a lot of other connections. And I think that you would sort of like form a bond with the animal and then not want it to die. So I was okay with it in this instance. But in general, I'm kind of like, if she had been a non-dying person and had been obsessed with keeping her cat alive, I would have been like, girl, we got to get rid of the cat. Like, you're more important than the cat. But in this case, it was like, she's going to die anyways. If she wants to die with the cat, she can die with the cat. Like, I'm fine with
that. Honestly, I mean, it is a service animal, so maybe it's like better trained than most, you know, generic house cats. But it was a miraculously smart and savvy little kitty. So I would have kept her around too. I mean, barely needs to eat, survives every situation thrown at her, basically is able to stalk any human being it needs to find again. So, like, good for it.
Yeah, it was well trained.
Mm-hmm. And cute.
So
pretty
I was
cute for a cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. I'm glad it was a cat, not a dog. I find dogs more annoying than cats, so there's that.
Don't you think this movie could have served with a little Pomeranian that's just
just like
flitting around?
No, because dogs, there's a reason why they're called a cat burglar and not a dog burglar. And I think that was on display in this film.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Cats have their little, you know, padded feet. They're like, they're quiet. Dogs are like barking, yipping, pooping places. Like, you know, making all kinds of noise.
So I heard this movie made you cry.
Yes.
Is that
it
true?
Did.
Or was that hyperbole?
No, that was true. No, I was crying for probably the last 20 minutes of this movie, I would say.
Yeah.
However,
well, I like to,
was
I like
that
to
be, all the movie, or was that also like sleep deprivation and other things going on? Yeah. Like, possible. But yes, I was. It was very moving, I thought.
Yeah, I think it was nice because obviously we knew she wasn't going to make it, like you said. But there was also this understanding between the two characters, with Joseph Quinn and Lupita. And so it was like, it wasn't like that thing they do where it's like they think they're escaping together and then she sacrifices herself and he's like, wait, and he has to choose to go ahead with it anyways. Like, there was clearly an understanding that she was going to help him get out if she could, but she wasn't going to go with him. And I liked that because it kind of allowed for this bittersweet farewell between people who'd only known each other for, you know, 40 hours, but had been bonded through this insane trauma. And I liked that it was sort of this moment for both of them to choose what they wanted, you know, to have that agency in the end, where he ran for his life to get on this boat and she was able to like think outside of herself and try and save him by like setting off the car alarms and running and whatever, and really being willing to die for him, because at least it was still on her terms how she wanted it to be. But ultimately she gets away too, to have her goodbye.
Yeah, I also just sort of don't love when it's an apocalyptic movie or a horror movie or a war movie or whatever, and there's like somebody who's in the group who's like older or sick or something, and you just sort of know that the only reason why they're there is because at some point they're going to sacrifice themselves. Yeah. And so then the whole time you're just sort of waiting. And that's how I felt in this. And then when it got to the end and that wasn't how it ended up working out, I really liked that and thought it was a refreshing sort of take on this situation. That it wasn't like she got eaten and he, you know, swam away.
Right.
But that it was like
they both got their happy ending sort of in a way.
Yeah. And also that final shot is so good. Yeah. Where she yanks the headphones out and then the thing drops behind her and then it goes to black. It's like, oh, wait, that's actually great.
I know. Chills. Which is like sort of their bread and butter. With the first one, it was Emily Blunt finally cocking the gun. And I liked this one more because it was just sort of like, yeah, you're not going to like save the universe. You're not going to stop this horrible thing from happening. But like, at least she had a moment to recognize how much she valued her life. And so it wasn't like necessarily, like it didn't feel like it was glamorizing this suicide. You know, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm going to just die because I have nothing else to live for. It was very empowering and kind of beautiful. And this last sort of acknowledgement that she'd lived a full life and she was happy with it. And it was like, she never had to give up that agency and she could go out on her own terms and whatnot.
Well, also it's like, she has terminal cancer. She's out of her medication. Like if she doesn't get eaten by one of these monsters, she's going to have like a pretty miserable death.
Yeah.
Which she's already having, but like, you know, without even the fentanyl and whatever she's taking.
Yeah. So what would your last song be?
What would my last song be if I had to play it? Probably Me by Taylor Swift. A classic. Again, that might scare off the monsters as well.
I have an idea. Yeah.
Hey.
Let's see if these kings have some taste.
Yeah. Like it better. No, I don't know what my last song would be. I'm trying to think, like, because I feel like you want something that's a little bit more, like, sad, you know? Like, I feel like the music that I generally like is very upbeat, but I'm not sure that we need, like, Born This Way playing while I get ripped to shreds. Or I think you want something that's a little bit more, like, melancholy. I don't know, maybe something by, like, Fleetwood Mac or... I don't know. God forbid the 1975. I'm like, I don't know. What would your last song be? All Too Well?
No, I'd be like, wait, guys, I need 10 minutes.
I have 10 minutes.
Just help me out here. No, I was trying to think because in this, it's like, you know, it's the... Oh, man. What is her song? It's the
Feeling Good one, isn't it?
The Feeling Good. Yeah. Classic. Yeah. Not the Michael Bublé version, thankfully. I feel like I would end up... I think it would be a hard choice because in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, what's my favorite song? What's the last song I want to listen to? Like, what song brings me the most joy? And unfortunately, I would have to say it'd be something like C'est la vie, you know, or like...
Not C'est la vie.
I mean, like, nothing gets me going like C'est la vie. But, or Celine Dion, it'd be so hard. So I feel like I'd have to do a full playlist to like hype myself up and then unplug it when I was finally ready. Maybe on like a... On like a quieter, like a
On the Climb throwback. By Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. No, it needs to be more that builds too much, you know. You need something that is like a warm hug.
And I will always honestly... love you by Whitney Houston.
Something with Adele or Ed Sheeran.
The Interstellar maybe? The soundtrack. Shape of You? Shape of You. A hit. A lot of really cool people really like that. A lot of cool people had that as their number one.
It would be We Are song. Young. We Are Young would get
not
its final
We Are
moment.
Young. Fun.
I would just go full millennial.
New Katy Perry song about how great women are by Dr. Luke. That's what my
At least in that moment I'd be like, wow, these royalties can't go to this scumbag. Like I might as well listen to this song by a terrible person because hey, I'm not lining their pockets anymore. They're gone, you know. This is for me now.
Well, so we don't know if they're gone or not. They could still be alive.
Yeah, but I don't think Spotify will be giving them my 20 cents.
The automated Spotify pay is still churning out.
Yeah. I mean, the bravest thing this movie did was just completely ignore the It Lives, It's Noise headline from the newspaper clipping that John Krasinski had taped up on his inspo board in the first one. I was really looking forward to that origin, but I'm glad they just, you know, decided to do away with that because it was the most illogical idea in the universe heretofore.
And it was the New York Times? Is that the newspaper that was on?
I'm pretty sure.
Because I'm like, it did, at one point, like, somebody had that globe or whatever. And it's like, there were certain cities that had the people. But I guess we saw that hit the city that they were in on the first day,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, so it's there was like no they paper went,
yeah,
delivery.
Okay. So never mind. Yeah, it's not like, oh, they're not going to
no
get here for another month.
For it. No, okay, that yeah, was then just never mind. John Krasinski's idea of giving context in a completely dialogue-less movie. So,
oh, yeah.
It was a smart idea to summarize. It's been done before, but it just logically made absolutely zero sense.
Yeah, they should have started like, was it Civil War that they started with all of the montages of things that I hated so much? Yeah. Huh. This movie has done very well for the most part. It didn't quite beat Inside Out 2 at the box office, but it performed better than a lot of things have this summer. And it also has a pretty good Rotten Tomatoes score sitting at 85%. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I feel like this is good. I like this. I hope that it does well. I like that it is a franchise movie, but with more of an artistic sort of taste to it.
Yeah.
I think that we could do with more of that kind of stuff. Like, okay, give me a Star Wars movie, but like a Star Wars movie that's somehow like a very different vibe and theme than we've seen before, but just set in that universe. And yeah, also,
and I mean, it's still like, I feel like the problem with franchises is they just get over the top. Like, think of Transformers. Like, obviously, it started as a Michael Bay film, but by the end, it was just like, what is happening? Like, where is the story? Where are the characters? It's just explosions. And I feel like that's what happens when you have something like a monster or an alien or a disaster flick. It always ends up being about the spectacle. And so I don't know what it is with this. I don't know if they just were given more leeway with the producers or the distributor or whatever. It just felt like they were trusted to deliver the product they wanted and there weren't as many hands in the pot or whatnot. And I like it. I think it pays off. And I wish Hollywood would learn that lesson better. And honestly, I feel the same way about Twisters, but I feel like it will be the exact opposite.
Yeah, Twisters, I think, is going to be big, bad energy. Like, it might not be a bad movie. Because the thing with Twisters, though, is that the director of it directed Minari. So I do think that there is there's something in
there's
there that
room.
Could potentially work. No,
Minari
I'm excited.
Minari was your favorite and Pig was mine. So it's like almost destined to be great either
way.
Wow,
a great summer. A great summer. Pig and Minari round two. It's like we're back in COVID all over again, baby. where's the secret? My Girl Missy, what was that called? The Wrong Missy. There we go.
The Wrong Missy. Yeah.
Ugh, disastrous. One of the worst movies I've ever seen. Well, okay, great. We talked through this, I feel like. We'll be back.
We
won't be back next week. You're off next week. You're on vacation.
I'm going to
Mexico.
I know. It's unfortunate because there's a hurricane currently. So obviously my problems are not real problems, but I do hope the hurricane is gone by the time it's my turn to leave.
I mean, hurricanes don't last that long usually. So, I mean, unless it's taking a real long time to get to you,
I'm looking at the picture of the news clippings from the first one. And the headline is, "They can hear you, what you need to know to survive. New York City on lockdown." So yeah, it seemed like a lower rollout in the original movie's idea of the monster flick than it did in two and now this prequel. So just wanted to add that as a little fact-checking moment at the end of our episode.
Yes. And then when you are back in 2 weeks, we have a real conundrum sort of choices here. We can watch some movie with Channing
Twisters.
Tatum, and no, that doesn't come out until the 19th. Or wait.
Okay, yeah.
No, maybe that is right.
So it would be... Yeah, so I
No,
will
because
be...
we'll be recording like the 15th, 16th.
Oh, yeah.
So we need one of these movies that's coming out the 12th, like Long Legs. which is the Nicolas Cage movie.
Or we can do our mid-year roundup.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. That's a good plan.
Time to percolate. You know, I'll get a week to catch up maybe on a couple on this movie, on this flight.
Yes. Great. I need to watch Kinds of Kindness anyways, just to annoy you when I put it in my top 10. So
I cannot wait for it to not make your top 10. I'm really hopeful.
It's 3 hours. It's got to be good.
No.
Well, have a lovely time on your vacation. I hope that you're not on a Mexican version of the Statue of Liberty when aliens come and you're stuck on an island you just have to eat coconuts and tourists.
Because I'll be separated from my baby. You can't put that.
But that's a good plot of a movie, though. You and Rob have to walk back from Cancun to Los Angeles.
I would. You know I would.
Lupe is not making it. Lupe is gone immediately. Dog is so loud and dumb.
She is not.
She's also old. She's lived a good life. She's ready to go.
Yeah, probably. Okay, well, hope it doesn't come to that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm trapped here with my 2 weeks of food in the apartment, so.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go buy some canned
goods.
You'd
be fine. Yeah, you just wait it out, you know?
Yeah, as one
does. Download those songs, download that 1975 album so you have it ready to go, you know?
Yep. What year was this supposedly set in? Because she did have an iPod Nano, which I thought was a bit suspect.
I don't know. When did it come out? I assume it's the same year the movie came out. So like 2019 or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I would assume too.
But, you know, she's just an artist. So she likes the old fashioned tech. It sounds better on a Nano. Oh, yeah.
People are always saying that's that. It sounds better on an iPad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks to give you our top 10 movies of the year so far. And yeah, enjoy next week off. Shelby will be in Mexico. I will not be in Mexico. You might be in Mexico, might not be in Mexico. A hurricane might be in Mexico. We'll find all of that out when we get back. Bye. Okay.